24. Jaina throttled down and made another run on Mon Mothma, dropping to within a meter of the Star Destroyer's skin. Suddenly she seemed to be skimming above a vast, white, slightly curving plane. An irregular dark lump appeared ahead, and she angled toward it. At the last instant she hit her repulsors and nosed up, washing her exhaust over the Gretchen, which released its hold. Its charred body drifted off to join the other 20 or so she had flashed. "This is actually kind of fun," she said. She would have to ask Uncle Luke if going after womp rats was anything like this. "Speak for yourself," Twintu said. "I just banged a stabilizer. Just watch yourself. If you plow into the hull, you'll do more damage than any Gretchen." "Don't make me weepy with your concern for my welfare," Tu replied. "Hey, I've got a big heart." "Okay, I think we're almost through here."
"Just in time for the real fun," Rar said.
"I see that." The big ships were closing again, and space was alive with light as they pummeled each other. And now the rest of the skips were arriving, not coming in as fast as the advance guard, but twice as hot. Jaina checked the new orders. "All right," she said. "Let's vape some skips."
"They really don't want us to get away," Wedge muttered. He'd thought about making a hard push for one of the interdictors so they could clear out, but the Yuuzhan Vong were keeping them far away and under heavy watch. That was good, in a way. It gave him near parity in the actual combat. Even though they had ships behind him, they weren't using them for anything but to prevent him running that way, nor did they have enough ships to try an encirclement. Still, slugging things out nose to nose was an iffy proposition when numbers were this even. He hadn't come here for a fair fight. The Alliance couldn't grow new ships like the Yuuzhan Vong could. But a run for one of the interdictors would be suicide at this point.
"Sir," Lieutenant Sell said, "I think I've found one of the Golans." Wedge raised his eyebrows in surprise. He'd asked her to hunt for any of the battle stations the Empire had once stationed here, or anything else that was operational. But he hadn't really expected her to find anything. The shipyards were virtually gone, food for a growing Yuuzhan Vong fleet, and the stations had all been around the shipyards.
"Where is it?"
"Way off its orbit, if it's one of the ones we had on the charts. And its present orbit is eccentric." Wedge glanced at the display.
"That is out there," he said. "It may have been drifting all this time, or maybe the shipyards put it there for some reason. Still, it's odd the Vong missed something that size."
"I don't know, but we missed it on the first pass, too. As you said, sir, it's way out there."
"Is the power core still active?"
"Yes, sir."
"Then it might still have guns. We'd better check it out. We might need it."
"Are we taking the fight out there, sir?"
"Not unless I know it's working. Are the twin sons done with their cleanup duty?" he asked.
"Yes, sir. They're on their way to cruiser designate Olemp."
"Get me Colonel Solo."
"Yes, sir."
Jaina's comm chirped. Much to her surprise, it was General Antilles on a closed and heavily coded channel.
"Sir?"
"I've got a task you might find a little more exciting than bug burning," Wedge said.
"I'm about to have my hands full, General. What do you need?"
"I need you to find Admiral Creefay for me."
"Admiral Creefay, General? What was Wedge talking about?"
"Something's wrong with the Holonet," he explained. "We were the advance for two more fleets. We can't contact them, so they haven't shown. I need you to find him fast and bring him here. Have him send someone to find Pelion."
"Sir, won't they come when they realize it's the Holonet and not something gone wrong here?" Jaina asked.
"They're not supposed to. For all they know, for all I know, the downing of the Holonet is cover for an attack on Moon Cal, or the Imps, and this battle group is already star food. I need you to let him know we're still kicking."
"General, you want me to leave the battle?"
What was her squadron turning into, an odd job unit? There was real fighting to do.
"A few starfighters can get out of the interdiction cones. Our capital ships can't. Still, I doubt they're going to make it easy for you, so I wouldn't worry about lack of action. Anyway, there's another part of this deal, if you really don't fancy leaving the Bilbringi system. Our long-range sensors indicate that one of the Golan II battle stations may still be operational. If things go badly here, we might be able to use it as a rally point, but I need it working. If it's not, and can't be made to, I need to know that as well. Send one of your flights to find Creefay and secure the station with the other two."
"Yes, sir."
"We're all counting on you, Colonel."
Are you sure you aren't just trying to get me out of the action?
She wondered. The numbers looked pretty even to her since the mass jump a few minutes before. What was Wedge so worried about?
That wasn't her concern, she decided. She had her orders. It wasn't the first time she hadn't liked them.
It wouldn't be the last. She changed frequencies.
Twins, we just got new orders. Scimitars, you're on your own. Good luck.
Copy, Twin One.
Twins, follow my lead.
She led the squadron straight up from the plane of the ecliptic and then made a hard break for open space.
We're running, Colonel?
Jag asked, the surprise more than evident in his usually reserved voice.
Not exactly, she said, though it felt that way.
We've got a head start, 8 reported. We've got pursuers, but they're pretty far behind.
He should have sent Scimitar, she thought. A-wings are faster.
They'll catch up, 8, she said.
Before they do, I want some distance from the fleets. We're splitting up. Jag, as soon as we're out of range of that interdictor, you're taking 5 and 6 to the coordinates I'm sending you. We'll cover you until you've made the jump.
Jump, Colonel?
Yes, I don't know how secure this channel is, and I'm sure somebody's paying a lot of attention to us just now. Make the jump and contact your superior there. Tell him it's all go. Do you understand?
Copy. What about you?
We've got another job to do.
Understood, Jag said. They were nearly clear to jump when the first of the skips closed to firing distance.
Okay, she said. Let's give them the distance to jump. Good luck, 4.
Copy.
Jag didn't sound happy. She sighed and switched to a private channel. Jag, I need someone I can rely on, someone with command experience. Can you do this or not?
I don't like it. I don't like leaving you behind.
Then go to your job and hurry back, okay?
Yes, Colonel.
Plasma bursts started whipping past her. No more time to talk, she said. Go.
She rolled to port and came around. 2 skips were following close on 3. She dropped in behind one and started firing, meanwhile jinking to confuse her own pursuer. She hit one of her targets with a torp and flew straight into the expanding mass of plasma and coral. When she couldn't see anything, she pulled on the stick, arcing up and back, and dropped in behind her tail. Grimly, she got him in her sights. She slipped a few shots through his void defenses, but apparently none hit anything important, because he continued on after Jag and his wingmates, firing constantly. She had picked up 2 more on her tail, and her wingmates were busy elsewhere. The X-wing rocked as its shields took a heavy hit, and for a moment she lost the skip in her sights. Cappy squealed. The skip was going to catch Jag before he jumped. She fired her last torpedo and escorted it in with stutter fire. A void appeared, and the torp exploded before being sucked in, as it was programmed to do. Her laser fire riddled the skip, which erupted into an expanding ring of ions. 2 more were coming up from the side. She wasn't going to be able to hold them all back. Then Jag and his wing were gone. Take care, Jag, she thought. She cut hard starboard and under horizon, now more concerned about the skips behind her than any in front. She nearly ran into one she hadn't seen. He was right in her sights, and she let him have it. The skip didn't explode, but it rolled off, obviously injured.
I've got you, Twin Leader, 8 said. 2 explosions behind her, and she was suddenly clear again. The odds were starting to even. Form up, she said. We have to stay together, or they'll pick us off.
9 in particular was a long way from the fight.
9, that means you too. Sorry, Colonel. Can't do anything about it. I've lost an engine, and my stabilizers are shot.
Hang on, then. We're coming for you. But it was only a few seconds later when his X-wing flashed out, struck by fire from 3 coral skippers. She watched, feeling hollow and numb. Then she shook it off. They were even more outnumbered now than before, and she realized Wedge had been right. She saw on the long-range scanners that even more skips were coming her way, these slingshotting around the interdictor.
We'll be lucky if any of us survives.
She no longer felt so bad about leaving the main battle. She couldn't see the Golan now. It was still a long way away, near the edge of Bilbringi's wide asteroid belt.
Let's take them through the rocks, people.
Moments later, they were dodging asteroids from the size of pebbles to genuine monsters. They forged in deep, and slingshotted skips changed course to follow. Most had the common sense to slow down when they saw where they were going. A few didn't, and Jaina had the satisfaction of seeing them pulverized against oversized rocks. Strangely, Jaina began to relax. This was what twin sons did best, fighter-to-fighter combat in dodgy circumstances. The Yamisks handling the big fight had clearly cut these fellows loose to battle on their own. Bad for them. Another advantage was that X-wing shields repelled the small asteroids.
Yuuzhan Vong voids actually attracted them. It wasn't a huge problem for the Yuuzhan Vong, because any space rock small enough to be attracted by the pinpoint singularities could also be eaten. But if they hit a big one, the singularities sometimes stuck them to it. So the twins flew tight, dodging in and out, letting the skips eliminate themselves. Jaina's optimism grew stronger, but she knew the victory was more illusion than anything else. They still had to reach the Golan station and bring it online. If they could outrun the 20 skips still after them, which didn't seem likely, even with them slowing down to get through the asteroids. If they really pushed it, they might get there with a few seconds to spare, which wouldn't give them time to do much of anything with the station, assuming the antique still worked. It was nowhere near the shipyard, so it probably hadn't been used since the days of the Empire. The guns and everything else useful had likely been scavenged while she was still in diapers. She clicked her comm. Okay, twins, here's what we're going to do. Our primary objectives were to see if the station is operational and to bring it online if it was. I don't think General Antilles figured on half the fleet following us out here, though. We're going to get there a few seconds ahead of them. The rest of you will cover me while I enter the docking bay. Then you're going to punch to the outer system. Are you saying we're supposed to leave you, Styx? With any luck, they won't see me drop in. They'll think I jumped with the rest of you. With all due respect, Colonel, that's crazy, Tu said. General Antilles needs to know the status of this station, and he needs to know soon. If any of you can think of a better plan, tell me now.
Same plan, but one of us stays behind, Three said. It doesn't make sense it being you, Colonel.
It makes plenty of sense, Jaina thought. I won't send any of you on what's probably a suicide mission.
She didn't say that, though.
It's the way it's happening, Jaina said. The last thing I need right now is an argument.
Yes, Colonel. Understood.
She had it about right. The skips were just catching up when they reached the station. The others fell into combat formations. She pretended to and even squeezed off a couple of shots before making her run for the docking bay. She'd picked up a couple of friends by then, however. Three was right behind them. But there were four skips on her. Jaina's heart sank. It wasn't going to work. Even if she made the docking bay, they were going to notice. She was grimly reaching to turn when her cockpit strobed in a flash of green light. And another. In her headpiece, twins 8 and 9 were cheering. Jaina made her turn and saw why. Gigantic beams of coherent light were pumping from the station's turrets, slagging skips as if they were practice targets. Better yet, she saw the sudden blue sheen of shields.
Colonel, Three said, it's just a hunch, but I'd say you can tell General Antilles the station is operational.